to be gathering this morning and to have among us. Our guest preacher for this morning is Reverend Dr. Dear friend and colleague, Masia Evans. And so we welcome Masia as our preacher. And Pastor Matt has driven to Masia's church, which is in Roseville. It's actually not your church, what we should say, God's church. Yes, and we are exchanging, and I'm staying put. How's that? And so we are grateful this morning for everyone's presence, and we would love for you to rise as we move into our opening song.
God clothes me in skin When I was just made, deep hues spanning spectrum, velvet felt round me they laid, and God delivered me in water and blood and all life stuff, and made my entrance a group effort, and my breathing air take bluff, and no matter the heartbreak and lovelies of early days, God painted clouds for my imagining, and sun and moon did always stay. And there have been buckets of blooms and pockets for acorn collecting, and breeze to cool my toil, and pebbles for my connecting, and rainbows to remind me of the prism of God's delight, and long embraces to find me when I'm struggling with this fight. So hold tight, my love. When did you last feel the color purple? A glorious collision of pigments red and blue, some ugly mess come full circle. Because nothing is lost on God. All things they are recreating to find freedom in earth's palette, to find color amidst the aching.
Day. Don't let the devil ride. What a strong words, right? Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for our community. We are grateful to be together for worship with you. As a community of faith, we root our lives in grace each Sunday morning in worship. We grow in faith with weekly kitchen table, and we reach in love in many ways. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. For those of us gathering online at the table.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith or stay in touch, please text the word new to the number on the screen. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series we call Growing in Faith, which helps newcomers connect with others and learn more about how we share life together. Our Growing in Faith series is underway, and a new series will begin on November 1st. Learn more and register on our website. We'll host our second Methodist 101 session this evening from 5 to 7 p.m. outdoors in the courtyard. Please sign up on our website. Please note that we'll have an orientation for baptism after our 11 a.m. worship next Sunday in the sanctuary for anyone interested in learning more from our pastors about the possibility of being baptized this fall on October 30th. Finally, we'll be joining hundreds of others for online conference calling Evolving Faith 2022. If you'd like to participate, learn more and sign up on our website. I invite you to remain seated and join your voice with our music team in a hymn from 1868, Fanny Crosby. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Oh,
Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. While we sing that here, Masia's congregation is singing it as well. We even chose a hymn to cross over. How about that? I think ours is a little different sounding, though. Yeah, right. That's okay. All means all. We would love some walking music, and I want to welcome our children to move towards godly play and or the nursery. Patty is right there in the back waving, and you can follow her. Parents, Godly Play Sanctuary is upstairs, and that is where our young friends will remain until you go up and check them out, which is a little bit different procedure. So they just stay up there quietly waiting while you're visiting down here with your friends. But truly, we don't let them out until someone goes up to claim them. Same with the nursery. Oh, look at all of that. How beautiful. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to share a scripture, and then our music team is going to go into another song. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and it is from the Common English Bible. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work. They don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Dear God, dear stars, dear trees, dear sky, dear peoples, dear everything, dear God.
Rising, rising, rising.
make us feel old at all. I think this is the youngest us ever felt.
Amen. You know, before we even go further, let's just take a collective breath together. Let us pray. Dear God, in these brief moments that we are together, I pray that you will open our hearts that we may receive that which you have for us to receive. And as always, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So good morning and peace to you. I send you greetings from First United Methodist Church of Roseville, or we call it First Church because it's the oldest church in the Roseville area, and they sent me forth to be with you today. And I am so happy to be, my heart is already full. And in fact, it's an honor to be here in this space because in many ways, my journey to become a Methodist minister kind of winds itself into and through the aisles of this building. I met Matt and Linda about a decade ago when I moved to the Sacramento area with my wife, Kawami, and my daughter, Niara, from Santa Cruz. It was about, 11 years ago or so. And we were looking for a new church home. And we happened upon these tables that were meeting in different places, including a restaurant which was right down the way from our home in Natomas. And later we came to this group gathering. I guess all the tables come together and we were all back in the other area of the church there. And my daughter who was, which is crazy, she just went to her homecoming dance. She's a sophomore, but at the time she was a little more than four. She was playing drums with Vanessa back in the day, and here's my four-year-old just kind of being with the music. And I love this community in so many ways because the music is what drives the heart of this place. And I believe that music is what drives the heart of God as well. And so I'm so glad to be here. Later, I had the pleasure of working with your pastors and campus ministry at UC Davis. And it was partially because of this collaboration and the table's constant pursuit to be innovative and relevant in the world that has affirmed my vocational path. So before I go any further, I just want to say thank you. Now, my journey to becoming an ordained minister begins much more than just a decade ago. In many ways, it begins in a small church in Southern Maryland. In a type of Toni Morrison way, this is a place of deep memory for me. I remember my trips down south as a kid in this seemingly ancient church in Maryland. It's called Cooper's United Methodist Church. I remember the sun-bleached white paint barely holding on to that wooden structure down road that sat in the lowlands at the bottoms of the hill down near Hall Creek. I recall as a kid filing in under the hot country sun with people who looked and felt like me. I remember stopping at the top steps just before entering the double doors and smelling the distinct air of a Maryland summer. And from there, I surveyed the soil of my parents and my ancestors, this rural landscape of farmed plots spotted with old oaks and peeling birches and deep pine woods. I remember how it seemed like those old trees release the whispers of passed-on spirits that passed on up those church steps past me, passing through those church doors and entering into the no time with those like me who were still living in their bodies. I remember seeing myself surrounded by a kaleidoscope of vision of black and brown faces set in sincere intensity. I remember seeing them sway and moan to old hymns, accompanied by the gospel cadence of the piano that was positioned prominently up front by the wooden altar that had, you know, the maroon padding for kneeling. They sung, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," with cracked old voices. They sung tried songs and prayed true prayers with open hearts and closed eyes. They summoned God with raised hands that pointed towards the heavens, puncturing the thick summer air in the cramped space of that small sanctuary. I remember seeing the crisp white uniform of an elderly usher, an ancient lady with gray eyes who extended her wrinkled black cupped hand to my young cheek saying, "Cha, I declare you don't look just like your granddaddy." I could still hear the creaking sounds of wooden pews holding the shifting bodies of those whose bodies toil too long in hot battlefields or as domestics in Miss So-and-so's house up road. I could still feel the breeze of paper fans sponsored by some funeral home moving the humid air, the picture of Martin Luther King Jr. or praying hands moving back and forth. Back and forth. When I was older, my grandfather explained in vivid details how every once in a while the church folk will come together and proceed to gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river, for a group baptism. And the candidates, usually kids, will be clad in crisp white. The accompanying congregation walked or sometimes shuffled in solemn joy down to the dark waters of the Patuxent. And the space became sanctified as the holy folk would sing the familiar song, "Take Me to the Water." I tear sometimes whenever I think of Nina Simone singing that song. All of this speaks to something that is fundamental for me, what is most authentic, my roots in what I describe in my doctoral work as Black folk religious traditions. This is a legacy of spirituality from my ancestors, a people with a creative and irrepressible faith that was forged in fire. Those who knew that God is always trying to tell us something. These traditions are holy. And the color purple is one of those works of art that shines a light on the beautiful religious expression. So when I was invited to go to The Color Purple, the musical with Pastor Linda, it was so much more than just a good time. Yes, it was absolutely stunning. The stagecraft, I've never seen anything like it. The writing, the dancing, the music, the heart. But more than that, it felt biblical in its narrative. It felt sacred. The story was originally written by Alice Walker in 1982, and it won a Pulitzer Prize and remains a seminal womanist work centered around Black women's struggle for empowerment. Particularly, the book documents the traumas in the gradual triumph of Celie, a Black teenager raised in the rural Jim Crow era Georgia. The work highlights the themes of liberation, full community restoration, and the wisdom that affirms undivided sacred presence, whether in the church house or in the juke joint. In 1985, there was a famous film adaptation that featured stars like Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover and Oprah Winfrey. Needless to say, the book and especially the movie, with all of its quotable quotes, quickly became and remains like sacred texts within the current Black and African American folk religious language. Further, there are many iconic images. One of note that was also featured in the play shows the characters Celie and Shug Avery walking in this vast field of purple wildflowers. Taking her cues from nature, Shug, the seemingly unlikeliest of theologians, opines about God. And while noticing or considering the flowers of the field, beautifully and bluntly says, I think it, let's say, truly angers, it's another word, but truly angers God if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. I thought of this organic exchange of spiritual wisdom in a field when I visited Israel-Palestine a little more than 3 years ago. Near Nazareth, there lies the ruins of a city called Sepphoris. This ancient city was important because Joseph and his more famous son, Jesus, was probably conscripted by Herod to rebuild it back in the early first century. This jewel of Galilee city sits on the top of a hill that overlooks a valley, and it is known for its Hellenistic influence mosaics, including one that covers the floors of an ancient synagogue. For miles around this site, there are these vast fields. And these fields that Jesus most likely wandered through would have undoubtedly sparked his youthful imagination and would have later, from a place of deep memory, possibly informed his teachings. Our verses today talk about worry, and it comes from his famous Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus says, look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seeds or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more, much more than they are? And then like Shug Avery, who took her cues from nature and drawing upon his deep memory of his hometown fields around Nazareth, Jesus then says, well, notice or consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. And Jesus finishes this thought by asking a rhetorical question. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it is alive today and gone tomorrow, won't God do much more for you? Now, the audience would have gotten this. They knew that what interpreters would later describe or label as lilies of the field referred to the wildflowers of rich color, including that which was in the gladiolus and the iris species. The Hastings Bible Dictionary says that these flowers most likely grew among the grain, often overtopping it and illuminating the broad wheat fields of Galilee with their various shades of pinkish purple to deep violet purple. Jesus' invocation of the lilies of the fields, along with Walker's The Color Purple, offers an insightful metaphor into God's grace, a grace onto which we can put our trust. This is particularly relevant in times when worry is not only present, but warranted. I'm talking about those sometimes moments where we cannot easily discern the where's, the what, the why's, and especially the how's. Jesus knew the pressures of the poor and oppressed in occupied first century Palestine, in the same way that God knows the pressures that we are facing today. And worry sometimes is warranted when you consider what is happening in our world today, a world that is rife with wars and rumors of wars, from Ukraine to northern Ethiopia, and how there are immigrants escaping repression in other countries are not finding love here on these here huddled masses' shores, but sometimes treated like political pawns, much less than the children of God that they are. Worry sometimes is warranted when you look at the witness of the church and see the gospel diminished into slogans and some folks yelling about banning books but remaining silent in the face of anti-black violence, systemic injustice, or theologically co-signing the pettiness of our politics that cynically separates and deepens division. And sometimes a warranted worry takes on personal dimensions, like when one begins to question if they are ever going to get through the problems that they are facing. Like Celia in The Color Purple, sometimes you cannot help but wonder if you can overcome the forces in life that seem to conspire to extinguish your light, your joy, and put a ceiling on your own sense of possibility. These types of worries are real, and these are natural feelings of anxiety that arise from the concerns of life. They affirm what it means that the fact that we are human. However, I believe that when Jesus says, do not worry, we are being taught to not get stuck in worry, to not let the devil ride. That if we quiet ourselves long enough, that we can begin to hear a new truth that emerges from worry's miring midst. We can begin to hear the whisper of Suge Avery in the field of wildflowers, or Jesus' voice on the mount long ago saying, consider. Consider the flowers of the fields in the purple shade of God's grace by knowing, as my spiritual mentor often says, that just because things are out of your control doesn't mean things are out of God's control. And this releases us to show up in our own ways for the big things happening in the world without becoming overwhelmed. And consider the flowers of the field in the purple shade of God's grace by knowing that even when the church fails, God does not. And people gathered by God's gospel of justice and joy may not always make national news, but are still doing good and still ministering to those who, as Howard Thurman says, those whose backs are up against the wall while being rooted in grace and growing in faith and reaching out in love. Consider the flowers of the field in the purple shade of God's grace by knowing that the evidence of God's presence, especially in our lowest moments, may not always show up by those around us, but in the stars, in the trees, in the sky, in the people, in the flowers, in the everything. And it shows up as was sung in the musical and just before I came up here, in the realization that God is on the inside, just as close as my breath is to me. And consider the flowers of the fields in the purple shade of God's grace by knowing, like a blade of corn, like a honeybee, like a waterfall, it's all a part of me. Oh, like the color purple, where does it come from? May our eyes be open and look and see what God has done. You see, in all these flowered considerings, in the middle of all these shades of purple, I know that God not only knows our needs, be it global or personal, but also is willing to provide for them. This allows us to have the assurance that such that we can listen to that great sermonizer when he says, stop worrying about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. And this allows us to notice the pops of the color purple that surrounds, which is the grace that not only sustains the birds and the flowers, but sustains our very lives. This is the grace that we can depend on in those sometimes moment when in creeps the lengthening shadows of warranted worries. This is a grace that brilliantly shines in such a way that we can truly know that no matter what is going on, God will always be with you. In fact, this message that I speak of today was given with a lot less words 7 years ago by the great hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar when he said in the intro of his most popular song, quoting from The Color Purple's character Sophia, he said, all's my life I has to fight. He goes on to say, hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah, Nazareth. He then proclaims, and I'm paraphrasing because we're in the church house. I'm messed up. Homie, you messed up. But if God got us, then we gonna be all right. We gonna be all right. You know, in conclusion, I wanted to show you this mural that was off of Route 50 in Sacramento near Sac State, not far from here. I was driving with my wife and daughter when we saw it. Immediately got off the next exit and backtracked to take some pictures. That mural was like a present-day field of purple wildflowers because what we saw in that art was a representation of the beauty, grace, and possibilities of God. So much so that we felt compelled to notice lest we make God angry, as Suge Avery would say. And indeed, we are far away in time and space from Jesus giving a sermon in first century Palestine on a mountain clear on the other side of the globe. And we're also far removed from the world of Sealy in rural Georgia. But as sure as that quaint Methodist church in the country parts of southern Maryland lives in my deep memory, I can testify today to the power of considering. And in those sometimes moments when we begin to worry, if we have eyes to see the color purple of grace that surrounds us, that we can see in it the promise that God has still got us. And because of that, Kendrick Lamar, I think, said it right once again, we gonna be all right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
One caveat, I didn't know we're not supposed to say pissed off in church.
I wasn't sure.
Well, now I'm questioning myself.
No, I'm going to be respectful.
Who are we respecting?
I don't know.
I don't know. So here we go. I'm going to say it.
Go for it. Go for it.
Alice Walker wrote, "But one day when I was sitting quiet and feeling like a motherless child, which I was, it come to me, that feeling of being part of everything, not separate at all. And I knew that if I cut a tree, my arm would bleed. And I laughed and I cried and I ran all around the house. And I knew just what it was. In fact, when it happened, you can't miss it. I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple somewhere and don't notice it." With those words, I invite us to stand as we are able and to move into a time of responsive confession. We all start together. Let us pray. Every day, we walk by the color purple or green, or yellow, or blue, and we don't notice it. Every day we refuse to hear the sound of laughter, or footsteps, or birdsong, or weeping. Every day God's extravagant gifts surround us, fill us, and connect us with everyone and everything, and we don't notice it. Forgive us, we pray. And hear these words of reminder and of forgiveness. Even when we don't notice, God's extravagant gifts surround us and fill us and connect us with everyone and everything, showering our lives with grace. Let us say amen.
Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated the earth from water and water from sky. And then God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit grew ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing the stars in the heavens. And God touched the oceans and the rivers and the ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and all kinds of things took wings, with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." When everything else was gone and done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You are the one I've been imagining, you. And everything you see around you is my beloved creation, and all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful despite God's generosity and goodness. And so God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and placed them inside a form that we people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on the earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be if we would abide in God's love and as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us, to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it. And we were afraid. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around the table and promised them, promises us, that he will never leave us alone, but would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what is coming, going, and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and sing this mystery of faith. On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine. And as the tradition was, he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." This time, let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in a language which feels most dear and true to your own heart. Let us pray.
Our Mother, Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered in all of the many places we are. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God, on the gifts that are here before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make all of us, through these gifts, Christ's body alive in the world. Let the people say amen. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean all. For those of us who are at home, we encourage you to gather close to you your bread or crackers and juice or whatever you are using this morning. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will be moving outside shortly, and Sarneet will come down the center aisle and direct you when it is your turn to go out this door, where you can have communion out of doors and then come back around in. You are surrounded by prayer stations, which are there for your use if you are moved. You may also choose to just stay in the pew wherever you are as our musicians play music, but there are candles for you to light if you are moved to have that conversation with yourself and God. Always, every week, there are people here who have never been here before, as well as those of us for whom this is our spiritual home, and most of us are somewhere in the middle, but whomever you are, however you found yourself coming here today, we want you to know that you can't make a mistake. We're all in this together. God's divine dance of love and grace. Just watch those around you, and you will know where to move.
Thank you.
for those of us who are still praying, please do not rush. Stay right where you are.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen.
Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we hope you will join us in responding to God's love for the whole world by giving generously to support the ministry of this community, as we always and in new ways and ways that we are constantly wondering about, seek to align our lives with God's bold and fierce love for the world. And you can do that in many different ways. You may give online, you may give via text. There are also offering plates for those old-fashioned things called checks that are here in the sanctuary. We encourage you also to, as Sarnit shared, take a next step, but when you're ready, by joining our next Growing in Faith series, which starts in November. And remember, we're coming back this evening, and we'll gather outside, so y'all bring your own chairs and blankets, however you are comfortable. Feel free to bring a meal if you want to, as Becca Kramer, Mauder, and myself will try to do our best. We are not bishop, a retired bishop, right? Or Matt Smith. So we're going to be us, Becca. Yeah, that's right. So the word pissed off may appear again. Who knows? But we welcome anyone who wants to come and listen to a little bit and learn a little bit about the United Methodist tradition and ask some questions as well. I invite you to rise as you are willing and able as we get ready to go forth into God's world.
So right now, as we get ready to move up out of here, I pray that you will see the pops of the color purple all around you, which is the evidences of God's grace that is constantly informing us. And may you, to everyone that you encounter, I pray that you'll be vessels of love and hope. And now may you go with God, and may you go in God's peace.